If you're thinking about it, she's talking about it. Join the conversation at 203-333-9422. The Lisa Wexler Show, WICC 600.
And welcome back to the Lisa Wexler Show. And good morning. Our telephone number is 203-333-9422, 203-333-9422, or you can call me at 203-333-9422, because that's really the easiest way to remember the number. Joining us now, Stephen Ulvaney, who is the P&Z chair in Darien, and he apparently makes a living by performing a lot of business valuations, property evaluations, real estate appraisals. That seems to be what he does. Getting the CV from him, I see that that's what his experience is. But the reason he's joining us right now, although that experience may help him very much as chair of the P&Z in Darien, he's joining us to talk about that hat that he wears as chair of the P&Z commission in Darien. And also on the line with us is Jamie Stevenson, who has been on our show many times before. Jamie Stevenson is Darien's first selectman since 2011. They have five kids together. I always like to hear about what the kids are doing. And welcome, Jamie Stevenson, and welcome, Steve Ulvaney, to the Lisa Wexler Show today. Good morning.
Good morning, Lisa. Thank you so much for having us today.
And good morning,
it's a pleasure,
Lisa.
It's a pleasure. Good morning. So, Steve, let me begin with you, because you were quoted recently in The Hour talking about your concern about Desegregate Connecticut and a number of other bills and initiatives that have been proposed in Hartford that you think would endanger the ability of Darien to regulate its own zoning and decide how it wants its town to look. So tell us about that.
Endanger is a word that I've never heard of that I use, but that's okay. What I did recently as the Planning and Zoning Commission chairman is we created a subcommittee to review some of the bills that have come across our desk that are up in Hartford right now. And so that's the first time that we've created a subcommittee, I think, at the Darien P&Z level in over 10 years. It's such an important topic that hit my radar screen that I wanted to have some of the people on our committee to study the bills. And I'm talking about housing bill number 5132, housing bill number 5303, and then Senate bill number 110. Some of these bills, I guess it maybe started back in February is the first time I heard about this. And it can have some positive effects on Darien. It could have some negative effects on Darien. But the thing that surprises me, some of the details that I've read or I guess general themes that I've read in some of these documents already, we already do more than half of them. So that's why I don't understand why. I mean, I think we do a good local control of our town and how it works. And the people that authored them never probably approached anyone that I know that's on my committee or department on if we do any of these things in the first place. I'm just trying to figure out why.
So what is it that what? So let's be more specific about it. We're chatting with Steve Ulvaney, the chair of P&Z in Darien. So more specifically, what did you see was, you know, what you thought was unnecessary coming from Hartford?
Unnecessary from Hartford is over the last 20 years, Darien has made a very concentrated effort to diversify our housing stock. So we did a study, that took us about a year to do, maybe 9 months to do, and we released it on January, saying all the multifamily housing projects we did and all the affordable housing projects that we did over a 20-year time period. We've created, let me see if I can find the numbers, something like 340 multifamily housing units, of which 34% of them are designated as affordable. Some of the things that we really focus on our side of the local planning board is parking, you know, building heights and sizes. we're very concerned about being a coastal town on sewer regulations and septic systems. There was one site in Darien in specific that was designated for affordable housing. It was on the market for sale for a number of years. A bunch of developers looked at it. You can't get sewers to it. So at the end of the day, we built, or the developer that bought it built, a building that has two affordable units that are connected to septic systems because they couldn't get sewers to it in the first place. We have a lot of new affordable housing units that were built in town. We've changed some of our existing commercial units to make a mixed use. A lot of these things that we're already doing, I mean, that's what I, you know, I don't say I have a concern about many of them. I'm just trying to figure out why this is coming from the top down if we already do it anyway.
Jamie Stevenson, do you have any thoughts about that? Mr. Olvaney saying he doesn't even understand why Hartford is doing this the way it's doing it without having looked at what local towns are doing.
Well, I definitely agree with Steve here. I think it's a matter of not really understanding, not having an opportunity yet to have a conversation with communities like Darien and Greenwich and the rest of us in southwestern Connecticut to really learn what, in fact, we are doing here. And to just, you know, put a fine point on Steve's information, our study showed that since the year 2000, we've actually constructed or approved for construction 866 units of housing. 31.4% of that are affordable units. So we are doing a fantastic job in terms of embracing the idea of housing diversity and the need to provide more affordable housing. Now, affordable has different definitions across the state of Connecticut. What is affordable in Darien, for example, may not be affordable for people that live in Hartford. We, you know, I think what always gets lost in the conversation is the regional cost of living here in southwestern Connecticut, being a suburb of New York City. So I think we always need to keep that in mind. But I think we are all, and Darien, I know we are all very proud of the work that's happening here. You may or may not know, Lisa, that we have historic redevelopment taking place in our town right now. Three large commercial mixed-use developments, all immediately adjacent to our two Metro North train stations that will bring new small business, new housing choice, both rental housing, one and two bedrooms, and condominium living. And in addition to that, and very unique, is a development of housing for the developmentally disabled that will all be deeply affordable. So I think actually the town of Darien is the poster child for doing what's right for the community and the region and the state of Connecticut. I hope that other towns look to us for guidance on how to do what we're doing.
So it's very interesting to me because, you know, next door to you in Norwalk, the proposals are for 1,300 or more units in East Norwalk, which we've had the head of the East Norwalk Neighborhood Association on, Diane Cece, and she's a very measured, rational person. She's by no means an alarmist. She just says it's too much for what the neighborhood wanted to absorb. They wanted to absorb more like 300 or 400 units, for example. But they were not talked to as part of the conversation. And so it's very interesting to me that right next door, you've got a city that you've got neighborhoods that are frustrated about the density and the amount of affordable housing units or just housing units coming into their way. In Darien, was this more, because you are a small town, was this a much more collaborative conversation with the people who live around there? How did you approach it in a way that, you know, you didn't have a lot of resistance?
There's no question. And the way I'd like to talk about this issue and the legislation that's coming is we're really talking about state control of local zoning. the state imposing zoning laws and regulations that will be a broad brush, one-size-fits-all approach to housing development for the state of Connecticut. The one thing that I love about Connecticut is that we are a patchwork of 169 towns. So when somebody makes the decision to move to Connecticut, they have lots of choice. Where do we want to go? Do we want urban living, suburban, rural, farmland? So in Darien, the reason why I know Steve, I'm pretty sure I can speak for him, but would love for him to address this too. The reason why we appreciate local control of zoning is exactly what you said, the collaborative process that we undertake here to get the community to first be educated and come to a collaborative decision on development. It is not easy. Getting everybody to agree on three large commercial mixed-use developments certainly was, not for the faint of heart. But because it was that whole decision-making process was locally controlled, working with the proposed developers, it was a great outcome. And I think that communities deserve to keep that local control to help move development in a way that our residents and people interested in moving to our communities appreciate.
So let me ask you this. Steve Alvain, are you there? Hello?
Yep, sure am.
Great. Chair of PNC. So one of the things that is making its way through Hartford that I'm hearing a lot of legislators be a proponent for is to eliminate your ability to consider the character of the neighborhood in making a local zoning decision. As somebody who has to apply these rules, how important is that word character to you, and do you think that that would be a good way for Hartford to proceed?
That's one of the things that when we did our town plan of conservation and development in 2016, that I think was one of the opening themes of the document. We wanted to preserve the way the character of the town is on a going forward basis. I've met and spoken with some of the other chairmen of the planning zoning commissions from the other, similar towns in southwestern Connecticut, and they're adamant about keeping the character of their towns the same. That's, again, Lisa, I don't understand the derivation of why, a word like character gets taken out. I worked in Manhattan for 16 years, or I think it was 16 years. We changed the character when I was there on 42nd Street, because you wanted to get a different character there. I was part of that process. All those developers, I worked with all those people, the zoning people. I worked with all those people. That's a character. That's an area that you needed to change a character to it. Darien's a small New England town. I don't know who wants to change a character, doesn't want to change a character. I don't understand some of the wording and the uses. One of the things I do want to add to what Mrs. Stevenson just added to it, when we do a local zoning application review, some of these applications take upwards of 10 years to figure out. It doesn't happen overnight. And locally, we talk to the local traffic authority. We talk to the local public works. We talk to the local board of education, the administration. There's and also that's above and beyond the constituents in that specific area of town. Yeah. Everything gets done locally, and everyone gets a chance to chime in or comment over a period. Heights come in. You have to talk to the sewer authority people and the public works people to see if we have capacity to fix it. Relative to things like electricity capacity and gas service and other items, you have to get Eversource involved, or some of these had to do with CP&L at the time. We had the Army Corps of Engineers on one of the projects. We're moving a brook. All this stuff is done locally by people. It makes me scratch my head of how someone that's in a different district and does not know what goes on locally can, ask or recommend or mandate that we do certain things.
Well, I appreciate Steve Alvain. I appreciate you and Jamie Stevenson coming on the air with us today to talk about this. I just received a letter, you know, in the way of a newsletter from a local politician in my area informing me that he did not think that the word character should belong in local zoning codes. And I guess people have to, I think that people right now in November have to decide, well, you know, in the pantheon of issues that are important to them about what they're voting for, they have to look at what the record is of people and they have to see what people want to do and intend to do. But I don't think that this issue is going away. I think that some people have a very specific agenda as public policy of wanting to eradicate character as consideration when it comes to zoning for the purpose of encouraging and pushing more affordable housing. And, you know, as somebody who was on the P&Z myself in my town, and I was on the ZBA for a combined 6 years, I know how important that subjective word character is when you actually are making a decision. And I, maybe because, you know, I'm a judge in my other life, I really like when you elect people and allow them to use their judgment and discretion to make a decision. I think that's why we have human beings and not robots. I think that that's why we appreciate human beings and not computers. The word character is a subjective word, no question about it. But very often there are so many different elements, as you just said, Steve, of criteria that go into a particular application that you often have to stand back and look at the big picture and say, well, on the whole, does this conform to the character of our community or the neighborhood in that community? Or as you said, Steve, are we trying to change the character of that particular neighborhood of the community? Is this part of our town plan? But whatever it is, I think removing the subjective nature of the word character would be mistaken, because it takes away the ability to use discernment and judgment from people that we are electing and appointing to do the job. That's just my opinion.
Lisa, I agree with you. If I could just chime in here too. So, you know, looking at the word character, it is in fact just a word. There's so much behind it. I think to a large degree, behind the word character is architecture, it's open space,
yes,
it's sidewalks. Mm-hmm. It also is the people that live in a community create the community character. So I think it's a misplaced directive in this piece of legislation. Can we eliminate the word character from our town plans? Absolutely. But we can still stand strong on those other ideas that make our communities the kind of community that our local residents want to keep. Now, if the idea is to just build a lot of housing, build very dense housing, and I would like to say, most people don't realize this, the town of Darien is the most densely populated small town in southwestern Connecticut, maybe even in the state of Connecticut. Most people don't realize that.
I didn't know that.
We have affordable housing here developed by our housing authority that actually looks great and, in fact, meets the character, if you want to use that word, of our community. It's done very well. And I think that's a wonderful thing, so that you drive past these developments and no one knows that it is a housing authority.
I like that too, Jamie.
Yes, it's
wonderful.
And
we have that in Westport too. And that's what's so nice, because then the people living there don't feel like they're living in the, quote, poor side of town, right? And they
100%.
Don't have a stigma attached to that. And the kids that grow up in those homes are very happy to have other people come visit them. And it is
yes.
a point of pride in Westport that our affordable housing is a combination of very beautiful looking townhouses from the outside where you wouldn't even know. And that's the point. So, and I think a lot of affordable housing has been built in the past that's very ugly. That looks like a project. That's not what anybody wants. Who wants that? No town wants that and no human being wants that. So that's another conversation. But anyway, guys, it's part of the same talk. I want to thank you for being on the show, Jamie Stevenson and Steve Ulvaney. Thank you very much for being part of the conversation today. We appreciate it. Have a great week.
Thanks for having us, Lisa.
Thank you. We'll be back with more of the Lisa Wexler Show coming up, 203-333-9422.